If I can add something, is that sometimes parents have to wake up at 5 a.m. to know if there's school tomorrow or not, be it in terms of heavy torrential rainfall or cyclone warning. Which country in the world tell parents you have to wake up at 5 a.m. to know the state of the day?
Back to episode 8 of Next Up Africa. I am your gracious host, Amy Kikoma. I am Congolese. Today, sadly, it's a one-man show. The rest of the team had conflicting scheduling issues, but we will, you guys will be in good hands, and I will get through this perfectly fine. But yes, I'm here with Alshad Kara. He's from Mauritius. Before we get into anything, make sure you guys checked out our last episode on Burundi. I mean, as those we always say, is very educational. And there was a lot that we talked about, so definitely check it out. Make sure you guys are giving us 5 stars, nothing less. You know the rest. So Alshad, before we get into the topic, I usually do like a quick quiz just to kind of see people's knowledge of Africa. So quiz for today. What is the smallest country in Africa by area?
Oh my God.
I feel like you'd be able to know this. I feel like.
Is it my country?
Nah.
Okay.
Is that your final answer?
I don't want to make any mistake.
You don't know? Okay. The answer is Seychelles.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I was like, I tried to give like an easy one that, you know. But yeah, so, Alshad, can you please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Kind of just introduce yourself and tell us what it is you do and the importance of Mauritius to you.
So, hello, everyone. My name is Alshad Kara. I'm a law student, so basically I'm doing my master's in law. I'm also a freelance poet, and also sometimes I do act. For me, I also believe that the society or even the world needs to be a better place, and that's why I volunteer in many organizations, and I'm also part in a youth-led nature-based organization too. For me, Mauritius is important because, as our motto goes, the star and key of the Indian Ocean. Through history, we have seen not only that Africa is important, but Mauritius has been a centerpiece throughout the decades and still is. It's not only a place to describe as a paradise or even as an important aspect of multiculturalism, but it is a place where I would say it is an example in terms of how so many diaspora backgrounds, ethnicity, are all together. And this is what celebrates the beauty of Mauritius.
That's pretty dope. It's definitely a beautiful island for sure. Actually ranked one of the safest countries in Africa. So that's, you know, I think that's very, very important. And I think also one of the richest, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yes, it's true.
But yeah, so I'm going to jump in a little bit into the background of Mauritius. I'm going to talk about culture, language, a little bit of politics, history, and the economy. Please feel free to interject and correct me if I misspeak on anything. Also, quick question. How good is your history knowledge of Mauritius?
Well, it's pretty good. And I was a history student from my A-level, so that's kind of rare in Mauritius, because we study history like till the age of 11 years old, like that. That's it. But then it's up to us to learn more, be it if the subject is being taught at school, it's the choice of the students, but mostly they don't choose to do it. But I'm lucky that I got the opportunity to study history at a deeper level, and not only Mauritian history, but world history. And I believe that history is the most important
right
part because it teaches us not only experience, but what can we bring to the future generations ahead.
Right. Okay. So maybe you could help me out a little bit with the history portion, if you don't
mind. Of course, with pleasure.
Yeah. So, okay. Culture and languages are kind of like the main ethnic groups in Mauritius are South Asians, but notably Indians, Mauritian Creoles, Mauritian Europeans, and then there's some people of Chinese descent. And if you don't mind me asking, what's your ethnicity?
Well, my ethnicity is South Asian.
Gotcha.
Yes. But I consider myself more as humanitarian because I believe that humanity comes first before anything else.
Gotcha. And religions, there's Hinduism, Christianity, and Islam as well.
And if I can add,
yes,
is that Mauritius, we celebrate each and everyone's
holiday.
Festivals.
Okay.
Yes, holidays.
Gotcha.
So we are even given public holidays for that. So that's beautiful because,
that's
you
dope.
Know, it's like we are considerate to each and everyone.
Languages. Oh, I was surprised that it said English was the official language.
Yes.
That was kind of, I don't know, it's kind of disappointing. I'm not a fan
Yes.
of African countries having like English as the main language, or I don't know, like Western languages being the main language in African countries. I don't know, it doesn't sit well with me.
Indeed.
But
I guess
yeah, go ahead.
I guess that you know, it's a reflection that you did as an international person. But even here, you know, there are so many advocates who are telling that, you know, why can't we have our official language as Creole? Because you may
Right.
not know that Mauritian Creole is the language spoken by each and everyone out here. And it's kind of like, you know, you grow up, even the older generation, the younger generation, it's like a language which is all encompassing throughout each and everyone, but it is not officially recognized as such,
Wow.
despite being, I would say, recently implemented in our educational system. But I think there's a long way to go to be able to bring changes.
Wow.
If I can add something, is that, you know, Mauritius in itself, you know, since people, you know, are not native, when I say native, is that we have discovered Mauritius. Each and everybody has come to Mauritius. There was nobody there. And when we all came, we have our own cultures, own identities, own languages. And with time, unfortunately, and it's the reality today, that some of us have lost our own native languages. So right now, we not only have lost beautiful languages or dialects, but we're more prone into a system which obliges us to compel ourselves to those languages which are not necessarily ours, but we have, and we are forced to connect with international standards. So that's very unfortunate. For example, there is Bhojpuri, Gujarati, which are all South Asian, but there are also more languages. Even I think, I'm not so sure, even Afrikaans, perhaps more any African languages. We have lost all these beautiful languages, which could have been a beautiful pattern and to showcase, you know, how much this is. Unfortunately, it's no more.
Right. Yeah. And I think, yeah. But, you know, honestly, I think even with that, though, you know, I think that was kind of like, you know, the plan, you know, for the West, really. Right. Like, I think that's kind of like their goal. Right. To make sure that their languages are spoken everywhere for conveniency. Right. Like, I was actually talking to a friend about this, about like how we could look at Americans. Right. Like we feel, you know, when we go outside of America that, you know, people should be speaking English, right? Like there's this idea of like you go to a different country and you expect people there to be speaking English, right? And like when nobody there speaks English, now you feel like, oh, why don't they speak English, right? But it's like that's not how the world works, right? Like, so
yeah,
I think again, like I think that's being made like a push again for conveniency for the West, right? Like to just make everything easier, you know, for them. But yeah, I think, you know, me and you will probably go on and on about this. Let me just list out the rest of the languages.
Oh, sure.
English,
So,
French. Do you speak?
French, Mauritian Creole. We have a band of other languages such as Urdu, Arabic, Hindi, Tamil,
Amelia.
Telugu, Chinese. And then we also have other languages, which I studied Italian. And I know that also doing Spanish sometimes. But
Okay.
Italian and Spanish are not much spoken in Mauritius. The most language which is spoken is Mauritian Creole. So if you speak to anybody, they will speak Mauritian Creole. But if you are a foreigner coming to Mauritius, English and French is, you know, two languages which mostly everyone knows and can cope with. So you don't
Right,
feel
right.
really a stranger as such. You know, so it's kind of secure, like, you know, you are going in another country and you don't know how to speak a language, but here it's like, you know, kind of a helping tool so that you feel at ease also.
So everybody loves food, right? I think food is very important. So what is a must-try food from Mauritius? Or like you could say, you could either list, you could either say like your favorite food, or you know, just something like
No.
somebody was to visit, what is something that you feel like they would have to try when they're out there?
Sure, you have to try Mauritian dishes. So we do have different Mauritian dishes, like, you know, I would say it like rougail mauritien, which is typically, you know, Mauritian sauce, sometimes can be with fish or,
You
you know,
said
it's a
Ugali?
different type of cuisine. Sorry?
You said Ugali?
No, rougail.
Oh, Ugali. Okay, got you. And what is that like? What's the texture of that?
It's like sauce, basically, with so many other textures. It's like, you know, with Martian flavors, be it like, you know, the vegetables, and you also have like the fish. You know, it's like the sauce that we make, and it's very typical Martian because you use the Martian vegetables which are here. So it's very much like Mauritian cuisine. But you also have, like, you know, different typical Mauritian dishes, like I would say dal puri, which is basically a like an Indian bread like this, but it is much more soft and it is yellow and people like to eat that. And it's mostly used, like, you know, or for a snack or if you're going to have lunch. And then you have like those snacks, those Mauritian snacks. I was thinking, like, one day if I leave Mauritius, how much I'm gonna miss those. It's the typical Mauritian snack called gâteau piment. So it's basically made with dal, and you have to fry it, and it's round and it's very crunchy. That's typical
Okay.
Mauritian. And then you have samosas, which are also, I would say, found in India, which are triangular in nature. And you can stuff it with vegetables or with chicken or fish.
Yeah, that's just combo.
But also, we also have like cashew nuts, but they are very red or very, they are actually salted peanuts.
Okay.
And they're made very different because they are fried, and those two things are, like, I think, because it is also something which is, I would say, traditional in Mauritian sense. And you won't see, you will see that in supermarket, but it's not the same when, you know, it is made by those people with love, care. I won't say, you know, on the streets, but also on those little shops. Those ones are my best. I'm gonna be really frank on that.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that actually sounds very amazing because, like, again, like, you guys have like this melting pot of different groups. So I'm sure like the different combinations gotta be amazing. But yeah, so we're gonna jump into politics and history. So I know in the 10th century, the Malays and the Arabs, they visited the island, but they did not settle, right? In 1510, Portuguese navigator, he visited the island, and then they began using the island as a port. But again, Portuguese did not establish any permanent residence or permanent settlement. 1598, the Dutch claimed the island, and then they renamed it after Prince Maurice. 1664 to 1710, the Dutch withdrew after they repeatedly tried to colonize the island, but never worked out. Yes. 1715, French East Indian Company, they claimed Mauritius for France. And then 1796, settlers break away from the French control when the government in Paris decided to abolish slavery. 1810, British captured Mauritius after they defeat the French. In 1814, Seychelles and Rodriguez were seceded to Britain under the Treaty of Paris. In 1834, that's when the British abolished slavery. 1835, indentured labor system was introduced. And then you had hundreds of thousands of workers coming in from India. In
yes.
1926, you guys had the first Indo-Mauritians elected to the government council. 1957, internal self-government was introduced with an electoral system based on the Westminster model. Yeah, I don't know. English sometimes is like super tough for me. In 1959, the Labour Party won the first elections under universal adult suffrage. And then 1860, Cyclone Carol kind of destroyed the island, left a lot of people homeless, and it prompted a housing revolution. 1966, the Britain expels some 2,000 residents of the Chagos Archipelago. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Did I pronounce that correctly, by the way?
Yes, it was good. It was good. Yes. And rightly.
Oh, now go ahead if you had something to add.
Actually, I'm very much surprised by your cognizance of history. And I was shocked at several intervals because I can tell you that not all Mauritians know all of these stages. I did history and I did law. So it's like, a double chance for me to know each and everything. And when you pointed out, for example, that, you know, that the inhabitants of Île-de-France had broken up with the French
mm-hmm.
in France, for example, after they broke up with, you know, the King of France.
Yeah.
I didn't expect you to know that, for example. You know, I did know that because I did Mauritian history at a deeper level, but mostly people don't know that. And that's for most people know that, for example, the French were here, for example, when the French East Indian Company took over. For them, it's like they encompassed that as a whole, but real history demonstrated otherwise.
Right.
And you also put it at that and several stages of, for example, universal suffrages or even the Cyclone Carol. So I'm really happy and glad that you made your research. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I'm glad it was accurate. And I think, you know, another thing that surprised me, well, it didn't surprise me. So the French, well, the British, they leased the island to the U.S. for 50 years. And the U.S., well, the U.S. have a military base. America.
What I understand is for that the island was ours, and mm-hmm. I don't actually know what actually happened, but I know that somehow the British got that island and they leased it with Americans. So half of the island is theirs and half of the island is for the Americans. So basically, we are completely ousted. So that's one issue we have. And we also have another issue regarding Chagos Archipelago, too.
Yes, I did see that a little while ago because they were in court. No, I saw that
Yes.
a couple years ago, right? They were in court trying to fight for, I think, the island
Congratulations.
back. Yeah. And then 1968, March 12th, you guys gained independence. That's basically basically my timeline knowledge. And I don't know if you had any more to add to the timeline after the independence, or like how things shaped out to kind of get you guys to the point that you are today.
After independence, obviously, it was different in terms of, we as a nation, we had to take things upon our own hands because before we were governed. So we had to really manage it ourselves, and we had to be really, I would say, very careful because we have different ethnicities and religions all together. So that is an important factor. Unfortunately, there has been a riot in 1999, if I'm not mistaken. And because there was a Mauritian singer who actually passed away, and that caused so much of a war because a part of the population was oppressed. And I really want to point this out right now because most people try to camouflage or hide it, but it's an important page in Russian history because it showcases not only that we live in a country which is beautiful, yes, but when we suppress, oppress, and we try to diminish value of a certain part of what's cited, then things are completely wrong. And unfortunately, really breaks my heart to pieces because I want Mauritius to stand united as our national anthem says, one people, one nation. And it was last year that there has been kind of some an uproar at night, like it was on a Friday night, that there was a riot. And then because the prices were actually increasing and there was no solution which was given to the people, and they went to the streets really demanding for it. And for me, it showcases yes, we live all together, but yes, we still face so many issues. And I believe, as Mauritian, we should not look ourselves by religion. We should not look ourselves by our status. But we should look ourselves as Mauritians. Because how can you be a Mauritian if you are going to discriminate between each one of us? We live all together, It's like, it's so normal. It's like you want to see someone from another background, ethnicity, religion, all that doesn't matter. It's like, you're human here. And that's the golden rule. And when you see, people trying to cut this out, then it outrages you. I mean, I'm young, someone from a young generation, so it really and on top I'm humanitarian, so it angers me more. But that's I really want people to advocate more on being Mauritian rather than separating and segregating us. Yes.
And you said the riot was what, this past Friday, or are you talking about like
Last year.
gotcha. Okay. Wow. And again, like these are things that, you don't even see, on the news or anything like that. At least,
Really?
yeah, over here now.
My God.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. I think the media's, they kind of pick and choose what it is that they want the world to know.
That's sad. That's really sad because I believe, it might have been just one night, but that one night was really drastic because anything could have happened or escalated for sure. And it
Right.
was really dark because I can tell you from the 21 years of my life, I have never witnessed such a thing in my country. And just bad thing happened showed me like so many things. And it's kind of like fragilizes yourself because you're like, Mauritius is a cool place, nice place. And then, you grow up as an adult and then you see one night everything can change for the worse.
Right.
Yeah, it's scary. And I think, people, I would say the people who are responsible should really look at this moment as a reflection, not only to themselves or not only to the future, but also to really coordinate one another. We need to more consolidate our positions because I don't want my country to be broken. I mean, nobody wants their country to be broken. No, I want my country to be one model. Yes, and I want them, my people, to stand as humans when they're, unfortunately, the issue in Mauritius is that most people are geared towards their own routines. So when it is stepping out for their own rights, we won't do so because we don't have nothing to gain unless they are in the same issue as one another. So this mentality should be changed. Unfortunately, the young generation isn't the same as the generations which was passed because I still have knowledge in terms of my grandparents, my parents, my friends always speak about, how Mauritian students or Mauritian, the old generation really went to the streets when it was needed to ask for change, be it for free education, for university, or even when there were historical buildings being demolished. And today's time, there's not much support. Yes, recently, since I would say 2020, we have people politically, I would say, not motivated, but geared to really bring changes. And so they are doing manifestations every time, but not much people are coming. But for a radical revolution to happen, we need each one and all. But this revolution is not for now, is not for tomorrow, and it will take so much time to happen for sure, unfortunately.
Wow, like to be honest, I would not have known any of that. That like that was happening, right? Like, because I guess the way I'm looking at it is like, again, from the outside looking in, it's kind of like, okay, they're one of the richest countries in Africa, right? Like, they must be doing good, right? Like, but this is kind
If
of,
I have to be honest with you, sorry for cutting you
I'm
out
not
here,
gonna.
we might be the richest country in Africa, but when you look about, of course, statistics will show you the bright side of our country. Yes, Mauritius is paradise. Yes, we do things. But unfortunately, let me tell you something really honest and on point is that, yes, we have education is free. Yes, there is I would say, an implementation of giving houses to people, but it's not up to the level. It's not even our constitution to tell you. So it's the people who have the responsibility to go and basically survive. In today's time, it's all about survival, Mauritius. It's no more about what you can. Of that we are rich. What is richness? It's true that the rich in Mauritius are actually becoming really rich. And I can tell you one thing is that our own land, is being sold to foreigners because at an extent and at a rate which is so much Outstanding. I am Mauritian and I can't even buy a plot of land because of the cost is so much high. It's even it's costing millions to buy only one plot of land, Mauritian.
Wow.
So how can I have? I don't have the money, even if I work for a lifetime for it. That's the situation that not only me, but so many youngsters are facing. And then you give our land to foreigners, you just tell them to come here to buy their own money, currency. They will obviously buy it for a cheaper price, but we are not having that access. Forget about me, someone who has a university, who's a university graduate, but for somebody who is on top of the hierarchy, at the bottom of the hierarchy. For them, it's more difficult because most of these people, they are completely deprived. They don't have any basic needs. There's so many places in Mauritius which normally the government don't even want to help or even want to showcase to international platforms. But it is true. It is really true. But Mauritians, all Mauritians are not on the same equal basis, and not all of us have equal rights and opportunities. So, if Mauritius is a rich country, it would be in terms of its economy and how of its GDP, but not necessarily about how we live, because with COVID, yes, has really escalated many things. I think around the world it is so, but here it's all about living today for tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, essentially, it's kind of a little bit like a facade because we talked about the last episode we did was on Burundi, right? And Burundi is listed as the poorest country in the world, right? And our guest kind of said something similar, right? Along the lines of like on paper, you know what I mean? It is, you know, GDP wise, it is the poorest, yes. But I guess, you know, people make do, you know, within what they're living in, you know. So it's kind of like the same thing here, where it's like, you know, GDP wise, yes, it's the richest, but like, you know, the people are actually still suffering. They're not, you know, so the government's still kind of doing what other African governments do, right? Which is cater to the outside world, you know, instead of actually looking and making sure their own people are good. You know, so.
I can say one thing. If you can let a child starve, then you know that your country is not doing the right thing.
Right.
Yeah. And
And
I'm saying it from my heart.
right, yeah. And I agree. I agree with you 100%. And you mentioned that that not everybody has equal rights.
Yeah.
What are the, I guess, what are the specific groups that don't share the equal rights, or what are the groups that are in power, would you say?
It's kind of a delicate subject, but I will be
Yeah.
completely
Okay. You
honest
know,
when I explain.
if you don't, you know, if you don't, you know.
Though we have, I will tell you, our political system, we do have a best loser system, which represents each and every community in Mauritius. So it's kind of a Westminster model, but which also advocates for each and every religion and community to be represented. That's the borderline where you showcase and that people really vote. Not on the basis of your qualifications, but on the basis of your religion. And that varies from district or region wise. So that's kind of unfair because if I'm the best candidate, why don't you choose me to represent yourself in the parliament, right? That's one of the issues that we face in Mauritius and it's still ongoing. The law needs to be amended, yes. And I would say that. Despite we have representations of each and every community in the parliament, we do have a majority of people from an ethnic group who will always, be at the top. And that's all
Yeah.
and people ask yourself, would you be prime minister one day? and you don't see that happening because one community is always up there and up front. And I can tell you one thing which is very much heartbreaking is that those people at the top will privilege people closer to them. And that will affect the authorities' concern, the institutions' concern. So it's kind of like you don't feel like if I apply for something and I'm qualified, I won't get it because I do not belong from the same ethnic group, or I am not, part of their favoritism or nepotism. But and you do have some people who at the bottom, there is an ethnic group which is very much suffering. But we, when I say poor people, I would say we are all in the same situation, but it's all about the levels. Yes, we have people from every religion facing, poverty in Mauritius, but there is one, definitely one ethnic group which is still suffering today. And this is very much unfair because you don't look somebody about their religion, their skin color or anything. You look about the situation, you're human first. And I think the Mauritian's logo should be redefined as humanism first, then religion. That would have changed a lot of things if we really inculcate that in our education system to not be selfish, but be selfless.
Wow. Yeah. I think that sounds about right. It kind of depicts how a lot of African governments kind of operate. You cater really to, to your ethnic group, right? Typically that's how I've kind of seen, the people in power kind of move, right? Like, you take care of only your specific people, your specific group, and kind of like leave everybody else aside. So yeah, I won't lie to you. I was not expecting this. You know what I mean? Wow. Yeah. So I think, and again, I think this is why it's important to kind of speak to the people that kind of, that are living, that reality, right? Because I think, again, for us, it would be one thing to have this knowledge.
If I can.
Yeah, please go ahead. Yeah.
If I can add something, is that unfortunately, many people are voicing out several issues in my own country. And I don't know if you know, but the right, for example, to journalism has been currently amended. And that has created such a loophole into our whole system, because mass media in Mauritius is like the tool and the weapon to really change things and speak about not only the unspoken things which happen, but also behind the scenes, which many political parties or politicians try to hide. And since that, this has been the triggered point, they have amended the law. And so before, the media could really go ahead with anything and they could really post it. But now they have to tell the origin, the person who told them, etc. So it makes it harder for them to go ahead with whatever article that is true, but they don't have the right to do so because they have to declare the person upfront. And even forget about this. One, for example, I would say, a private journal has only 1 year of license. Before it was, I think, 10 years. So they have really limited every single doors, and that license can or cannot be renewed, and that's upon their discretion. So they have really gagged the media, and unfortunately, in Mauritius, if you dare to speak about the government, you're being arrested for whatever reason.
Right.
Against the law. That's true, actually. And I'm not scared of saying that because it is really true. I'm not scared because I'm honest and it's true. No, I just want my immersion back. I just want, to read newspapers of information every day, which now I can read. I can read, news for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and when I open my phone to check, I can read the. It's not much information as before, so it's sad. It's really sad. I just want it to be back where, everybody has their rights respected as they are and not as the law says.
Yeah, and honestly, that's literally happening across the continent. That's always like the biggest thing. That's always the first thing that the governments usually kind of do away with, right? Is the journalism aspect of it, right? Because that's kind of like the quickest and fastest way people, they get news, right? So again, like it's definitely interesting to see that they've kind of painted this picture for the outside world, right? Because like coming into this conversation, I had no idea about any of this, right? Like or maybe I just didn't kind of dive deep enough into my research. But again, I think this is definitely surprising. I think this is definitely good that we're able to kind of get this information out, you know what I mean? And it would definitely allow me myself now to kind of start diving deeply, and trying to learn a little bit more about what's going on actually, amongst the people.
True, and there's a part which they don't necessarily showcase emotions as because if I think everybody's agrees like that, you want people to come to your country, and for that you need to present your country as a brand as something good. Because if you represent your country as something bad, people won't go there. You won't have today's world is more about not only trading but also about being an accessible village where you can have investment. All is about money and time nowadays. It's not necessarily about what can develop. There's the difference between developed countries and developing countries. It's like a rat race. They completely forgot the nation about country first and the world after. Now it's more about what can I do for the world and thereafter, what can I do for my country? If people really thought about their country, then they would have been more patriotic towards it. They would have had that essence in their blood to fight and really showcase, the beauty of their own country. There won't be even the need to be in parliament. If the world was really If one's country was really united, it would have been much more a better place. You would have, I would say, happy people everywhere, with smiling faces, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely a good point you just made, right? Like the reasons to why, most of these countries kind of like, I guess you could say, put on a face for the rest of the world, right? Because tourism is very big. Tourism brings in a lot of money for, a lot of these countries. I think even like we could say a lot of African countries, right? For the most part, tourism is kind of like, it kind of helps. You know what I mean? But yeah, no. This is definitely a great conversation that we're going to keep going. I guess since we're on the side of money, GDP, we could talk a little bit about the economy. So due to tourism, the economy is projected to increase in both 2023 and 2024. However, there is some small challenges that are going to slow the growth, right? Due to higher living costs, like you mentioned before, and there was a mention of the effects of the war in Ukraine, and I guess I just wanted a little clarification, like the war in Ukraine, like how's it affecting the economy? I don't know if you know.
So let me tell you that I'll take it before COVID-19 because it's very important to really understand what is happening now that has been affected by that severely. We do have COVID. We did have COVID-19 twice in Mauritius, where we had two lockdowns. The first lockdown was the yes, people were very suffering, and the economy took a deep mess. But we were still on a point where we could survive, in terms that we did not amend the law, which stipulates that we had to respect a rate. For example, I would say 1 rupee was $35, if I'm not mistaken, and or even 1 euro was about 39 rupees. And then after the second lockdown, they amended the law that meant that there was no restriction. Until now, we're suffering the backlash of what has been happening. So now 1 rupee is basically more than 55 rupees. $1 is basically 60 rupees. So it's this difference in terms of merchant currency abroad and here made that, since we export and import so many items, we are the ones suffering because we have to buy at a higher price. And when it comes into our market, the price have risen by so many, but our standard of living is still the same. Our salaries are still the same. So we are the one losing. Actually, the war in Ukraine did affect us in terms of oil. That was like very much a crisis because people had panic buying fears. It did
Right.
happen. There were kind of some shortages, but other than that, we didn't suffer that much of backlash, and people are still suffering on that.
Yeah. And just for the listeners, the currency in Mauritius is Mauritian rupee. We had a 1 rupee is about 46 US dollars. Yeah, so that kind of like on balance is, yeah, I think it's ridiculous. The main exports would be the European Union with 28.5%, the US 12.5%, the UK 9%, South Africa 9%, and Madagascar 6.75%. Main imports is from India with 17.9%, China 15.7%, France 11%, South Africa 9.7%. So just a couple of things that that are being exported from Mauritius, right? We have knitted undergarments for cotton, men's trousers, knitted jerseys, pullovers, cardigans, men's undershirts, fish, raw sugar beet and cane, I think things like that.
If I can add something
Yeah,
on
please.
the exports, is that, Mauritius is a country, yes, but we also have territories like Roderick Island, Agadega,
Right.
and in Roderick Island, we also have octopuses, and also they have like the asha. It's like a mixture of, of ingredients which is made, like, for example, you would have like mangoes, you would have different elements of fruits and vegetables mixed together, and this substance, it would be sold, could be in pots. I don't know if it's being exported. I know it's being exported, so I would love to add that too, because they need to be recognized. Also, it's important not to forget each and every people who globally represent Mauritius.
Yeah, I definitely did not. And again, I did not know about the territories. So, again, it's been very, very educational, informative. You know what I mean? So far, I think everything, like I said before, everything you've stated, it's been brand new information for me, which is good because I definitely enjoy learning more, about Africa in general. But yeah, today's conversation was going to be, about the climate, but, I don't know, if you want to continue talking.
I do want to continue talking. It's a pleasure. Yeah,
No, I mean,
yes.
in terms of like what we already been talking about, right? About you just kind of like educating us on, all things motion, or do you want to kind of switch gears and talk about, the climate challenges that you guys are kind of facing right now? Because I was a little bit interested in knowing a bit more about that, right? Yeah, so today's topic surrounds the current climate risks in Mauritius. So the Republic of Mauritius is a small island developing state in the Indian Ocean, located off the eastern coast of Africa. The country is situated in an active tropical cyclone basin, exposing it to disasters and climate risks. Temperatures and sea levels in Mauritius are rising at a faster rate than the global average. The country is also facing accelerated coastal erosion and coral bleaching. So I have about four questions, to kind of keep this conversation going, right? So I guess first question, I guess just for the listeners again, right? What is the status of the country right now in terms of like the climate conversation that we're having? What does that look like? Because according to like the World Risk Report of 2021, Mauritius was classified as the 51st most exposed country to natural hazards, and in recent years
Yes.
has experienced prolonged droughts, all right, flash floods, cyclones,
Yes.
and things like that, and like Category 5 hurricanes, etc. So, what is the status of the country right now?
The status of my country or the country right now is that we are definitely being impacted by climate change, and that at a rapid and risky rate. We are not only suffering it in terms of temperatures, but also in terms of nature-wise. I can tell you my own story is that when I was a kid, Mauritius was, or let's look back at history because I think that's much more important. Before every single settler came into Mauritius, Mauritius was a haven on Earth, and I can, and it is being supported by books which was written by so many people at that time, telling how much there were so many endemic species and plants which really demonstrated the beauty of the island. And here in 2023, Mauritius is no more as it used to be. Our endemic plants or animals are no more inhabitants of island. They became strangers to their own soil. Additionally, what I can say is that when I was a kid, I used to see, my own beaches being as beauty as anything else. I used to see starfish. That's a simple example, or even so many birds in the sky. And now there are practically no starfish, or not even turtles in the sea. Now it's more about the consequences of the island, and that too at a rapid pace. Our beaches are facing erosion. Sometimes there are so many flash floods. For example, this summer we had so many torrential warnings, and that too was very much unexpected. We have cyclones which come and go like well on visit. But it's very much like you don't have the capacity to really know. Like, even summer sometimes can be, you may feel like you're in winter, and then in winter you feel like it's extremely cold. It's more like, temperatures have really been a game changer for us. It's like a roller coaster. You never know exactly what's next. So, yes.
Wow. Yeah, I think so. I guess for you personally, right? like knowing the location of the island, right? And knowing like the possibility of being exposed to all these like natural hazards. How would you say the government is addressing or handling like this environmental challenge? Are there any like specific mitigations, or like do they have a plan in place, for things like this when they happen or when they will happen?
Good question, and thank you so much for asking this question. I believe it's of prime importance because, as a government, you are the head of your country, but you're also at the head of every single consequences and mismanagement which happen. I believe it's not about how the government can tackle, but how each and every representatives of the parliament did, does, and will do to really change things. The Martian system concerning environment, yes, we do have a ministry for environment. Unfortunately, Martians as a whole, we have so many beautiful trees, plants, but this is not valued. To be honest, I can tell you that there are not much implementations to be done to curb the consequences or to even protect and prevent climate disasters from happening. As someone part of an environmental organization, I can tell you that until now, nature is not being defined and deserved as best. I will start by our own people first, and then I'll jump on the implementations being done. As an individual, our education does not teach us the value of nature in itself. You can see people littering on the streets. That's one example. For example, they don't even respect nature. I think it's everywhere, but I believe, it comes from us first. It's not about teaching a child to throw into a dustbin. It's all about respect, because this is much more important. And what I can add is that, yes, we have our education, which does not necessarily help to really implement those challenges in nature. But I can say that, for example, we do have a World Cleanup Day, which is organized yearly, but it does not really teach the students or, young generations like, okay, nature is my home. It rather reflects like, okay, if I want to volunteer or if I want to be out there, I need to protect it, but it's not my responsibility. Then who's? The government should have really, I won't say the government, because it's not their own responsibility. It's the responsibility of everyone, of yesteryear's government, of this government, and the government which come after. I will be very severe on this, because we are an island, and we are prone to so many climatic disasters. We don't value our own seas. The laws which are implemented in Mauritius are not really promoting nature within its own people, because if you're promoting nature to your own people, you would really push them towards self-sufficiency and self-preserving nature. That's one thing, key factor. Those laws which are implemented do not really promote in saving our endemic plants, trees. For instance, we had a project called the Metro Express, just like a tram around the island, and we had to cut down like our endemic gardens and trees, which were already there. So that's heart-shattering. In terms of cyclonic warnings or even flash flood warnings, it's gonna be so much of a laughing stock, I would say, to our international listeners, because our system, our like meteorological service here is the worst. It's literally the worst, because you can't you could be they could like literally tell you, okay, today there would be heavy rain, and when you would go out there would be some light, and then this, and then the next day there would be like, you know, a sunny day, and then you would go and it would be like, oh, it's raining. So every time it's like that, we have to really base ourselves on international meteorological services to be able to. So that's one failure that each and every government have failed in terms of service. Now coming to the flash floods, they don't even know when there will be. And even when there is, it's like panic mode throughout the island, because you have to take care of colleges, students. You have to really, you know, it's like a mess, because it's like, you know, you plan the routine and then slash out, you know, there's a communique with players. And, you know, it's like, you know, you come totally unprepared for that. Yes, sometimes there can be like unprepared situations, but you cannot allow that you release students in a way where just like that, you know, because it's raining. We do need to supplement like services, like transport services. Forget also about students, but also elderly people. You know, we need to have a system when there is torrential rain. There needs to be a system which really calibrates everyone the same that all like, okay, there is torrential rain, yes, but we're taking care of you. And that's one side. Sometimes what's good is that recently we have implemented like a heavy torrential rainfall warning, so that means when it is in place, you can't go to school. However, let me tell you the side of this is that you're being told that there's no school today, but you don't know if there's going to be school online or not, and they're going to replace it thereafter. So it's kind of a challenge to balance through. That's one thing to ensure and done. When there are cyclones, it's the worst. Because we have cyclone one, class two, class three, and then class four. So you kind of know, but sometimes you don't even know, because it's like, you know, in one whole day, the whole situation changes, and don't even know that there's a one second class warning, one notice. And even after the passage of a cyclone, before what they used to do is to totally remove whatever warning there was and tell each and everyone go back to your own routine with the public services, transport, etc. And that has unfortunately led to a loss of life of especially one people. And that was dramatically challenging, because they had to re-amend the law and implement like a system where, for example, they had to implement a safety bulletin which served as after the lifting of a second warning to inform about the severe condition of the island. But the island is still being monitored by a cyclone. But we are making sure that no one goes out. So that this system is implemented in 2023, when we had cyclone, as you rightly said, from the 20th century. Those situations and extreme cases should have already been imagined. It had to take us losing one life to understand this. You know, just realize how much we are very much backwards in terms of changing or even thinking, because those people who are at the top, they can do so much, but yet they do so little, you know. And that's the only thing that has been implemented and amended.
Yeah, it sounds like we've been fed a lot of lies about about the country. That's very sad and disheartening, to be honest.
And if I can add something, is that sometimes parents have to wake up at 5 a.m. to know if our school tomorrow or not, be it in terms of heavy torrential rainfall or cyclone warning. Which country in the world tell parents you have to wake up at 5 a.m. to know the state of the day? Literally, if you're going to send your kids to school or not. I find it very much, archaic and very much unfair. I went through the same situation myself and it's still happening again and again. I think this needs to stop and there needs to be really relevant standards to really showcase that, environmental concerns are being assessed.
And well, I think you said this earlier, but the reasoning to why, I guess, that you guys are not able to kind of get that information like right then and there instead of like waking up at like 5. Is there a reason to why that is such?
Yes, necessarily they tell you they have to wait for the meteorological bulletin to be
That's good.
ready. But honestly, they have all the technicalities, the resources which are necessary, especially to this time. So why can't they really assess that beforehand?
Right.
If France, if I can tell you, if meteorological services from France can already tell us and predict, our weather conditions for a week, even for a month. Why can't we do same? We do spend so many of our money, of our taxes on those authorities, on those responsibilities which are given to them. Why can't they do that? And it's not about them, it's about the whole population there. Who a country is affected by weather condition, it's everybody's matter. So yes.
That's actually interesting because what is the purpose, right? Like, why take so long to kind of release that? Because that's very important information to know, right? Like, that's kind of like teetering on like life or death, kind of, I guess to switch up the gears a little bit, right? I try my best to kind of, allow the listeners to, kind of learn firsthand of like what it is, what's the reality like, right, in each country. But I think it's important to share, the reality and also share kind of like the beauty, right? What lesson, right, can other countries learn from Mauritius? Or, well, we could just speak specifically other African countries, right? What lessons do you feel like other countries can take away from Mauritius?
I think the biggest takeaway, not only by African countries can take, I would say it would be our multiculturalism, in terms that we as Mauritians, we live all together. We do not see ourselves necessarily as part as community or tribes. We see ourselves as humans. It's normal for us to have someone, our neighbors from different religion. For us, it is normal to walk on the streets with each and everyone. It's normal to take the bus or even to share the same class, the same resources. It's totally normal. Racism is something which, when I see other countries and when I see how much they're affected by that, I feel myself lucky and very much happy in terms of having that knowledge and that opportunity to grow up into an environment which is so much fulfilling and also shows you the beauty of being humans at the end of the day. That's one thing. The other thing that African countries can really rely on us is that, demonstrate and showcase your history as it is. Do not fear that anything, because we as Mauritians, we have a rich history, bit in terms of colonialism, if I may say so, or even our own independence. We grow all together. And each and every country has the particularity of having a history, but preserving and conserving the history, just like Mauritius did, we changed hands so many times, we are still going through political shifts here and there. But our beauty is that despite all the history that we had, we stay united. And this is something which I really want to advocate about each and every single country in Africa. Whatever differences you have, whatever backgrounds you are, whatever skin color you have, whatever characteristics you may differ from, that one single thing that unites us is that we're all humans, that we're all species at the end of the day. We just need to understand one's heart to be able to be touched and implement a system where we regard ourselves not as different, but as binded by humanity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a good point, right? Because you if you look at like the African countries, you know, there's always like this ethnic clash, right? So you guys don't experience any type of racism in the country,
I would say there is, to some extent,
right?
there's a little bit of racism. For example, when you're going to say a part of a community in Creole language, you're going to use a different term. And for me, it's like, why should you treat someone else differently? And you see that there's kind of difference type of racism. For example, if a part of community did a mistake, they will put everyone in the same box because they are a part of a community. So these types of things should really be divided, which promotes dividedness should really be broken and should really show like, no, we do not need to bring the person's religion into the matters, but rather look at the individual and the mistakes they did.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That's definitely interesting. So I guess my last question for, our current conversation. Again, I tried to leave things on like a lighter note, right? Because you kind of give a lot of information, right? To the listeners, kind of hit them a lot with the reality of the situation and, how people are currently living, et cetera. But for you personally, right, what is one thing that you want listeners to know about Mauritius? Like, what's one important takeaway that you feel that they should know?
I would say is that we exist too. Because sometimes when I speak to people from foreign countries, they don't know where Mauritius is or does Mauritius exist. And I would say that we do exist as well. I would say, yes, Mauritian hospitality is something which is super nice because you just feel like home. And you would see that people would, and I experienced it myself being Mauritian, I can tell you, because people sometimes mistake me for a foreigner multiple times. And that's somehow good because then you can get the other side of the picture. And I have, through experiencing it, I have seen like, the attention, the particularity that we give, be it if you're going to have your taxi, your bus, or even if you're going to visit a place, they will be very attentive to care for you and will be very gentle. And then when you leave, you will be like, I don't want to leave. And you always have that memory of those people behind living into that country. And that it's like that little pinch of salt in your heart that you don't want to let go, but you have to. But which really shows that the chapter of Mauritius is itself a paradise.
I think that's definitely a very, very important thing, because that is very true. I think, you know, a lot of the islands off of, you know, off the coasts of the continents, I don't think people really, you know, tend to really pay as much attention, you know. So, and again, we're, you know, we're definitely gonna do our part to definitely continue to push, you know, and make sure that people know that it's very, very important that people know, you know, that these islands exist. You know what I mean? People know what it is that's happening on the islands. But yeah, I think we've had a very, very good conversation. I don't know if you do have anything else that you want to share. If so, please.
If I can also add, is that Mauritius does have so many changes that needs to bring forward in terms of human rights, in terms of facilities or resources. Yes, we really need to change things for the betterment of our society. However, as far as I can say, and as you rightly mentioned, we are the safest African country, but the lifestyle in Mauritius is different in terms of you find peace and comfort in this little island. You know, even if you may have a routine which can be sometimes tiring, you will find yourself, you know, surprised by the weather sometimes being such a beautiful sunset or sunrise, and you would say, like, am I living, really living into a dream, or am I really living into reality right now? Because it's sometimes it's even shocked me, like, how much beautiful it is, be it the stars at night or even the what nature has to offer. And you're like, wow, you know, this is my own country. I belong there. And it's not about moving to another country. It's really appreciating what a country has and what it needs to be left behind in order to preserve it forever. And this is the golden key of Mauritius. And I really believe that that's what made our motto become the star and key of Indian Ocean. The star, because it's really a place of magic and wonders, and the key, because you really feel like the key of your heart is there, just like the treasures of pirates which are buried on the island.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to kind of wrap it up. I think overall, we hit all kind of our goals and more, right? Obviously, we covered, you know, the history, politics, culture, languages. We went very deep into history and current events, which is very, very important. Talked about the current economic standings, talk about the reality of the economic side of things versus what is being shown to the outside world, right? We talked about the environmental challenges, you know, that are being faced. We talked about the abundance of lovely food that you guys have. The melting pot that is Mauritius with the different ethnic groups and religions, et cetera. We talked about our confusion for English being the main language. You know, I'll keep pushing on that front and trying to make sure, you know, at some point kind of changes. So it's definitely good that we were able to kind of hit all our points that we were looking for. But yeah, so we've kind of reached my favorite part of each episode. So we do this segment called Song of the Day, and we ask the guests to kind of give us their current favorite song. I do only suggest that the song is from your country. If not, then that's fine, but I believe that, like, you know, music is a language everybody understands, you know what I mean? And like, the more diverse people become, and like the different sounds from the continent, I think, you know, the better, right? So song of the day today is coming from Mauritius. What is the song of the day?
It is called Sime La Lumière by Kaya.
Make sure everybody's continuing to follow us on all of our social medias. Instagram is official underscore next up Africa. Twitter is underscore next up Africa. LinkedIn is next up Africa. And website is nextupafrica.net. Ashad, it was definitely a pleasure having this conversation with you for sure. Make sure you guys tune in to our next episode, which will be on Malawi. But yeah, until next time though, peace.